Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris, and what a gorgeous, stunning, beautiful, sunny Bondi day. Unbelievable. I've been out there on the beach, walking up and down with clients. It is spectacular, and people are in a great space on this day. Wow, the energy, the moon, everything is just perfect, ripe for the picking. And I really, really wish and hope and dream that everybody listening to this is in a great space in their life too. You know, we had the memorial down here last night for the Bondi Junction catastrophe a couple of weeks back, or last week. Then it was really beautiful, a candlelight vigil and prime ministers down here and helicopters in the air. It was very much, the energy was the same as Anzac Day. People going to somewhere to grieve, and it felt like Anzac Day, which is this week. Today, it's really important to just help you understand the process that you might be in if you're following my work and following the work that I share with you in the world. There are four elements of it. The first element is, number one, is to accept the fact that a human being has certain idiosyncrasies that cannot be changed. You cannot escape from the universal laws of nature. You can't find a place, as much as we think we can, we can't find a place to hide from being a human. We have emotions, feelings, we have beliefs, some of which we know we have, some of which we don't know we have. We have education and learning, some of the stuff that we've deliberately picked up along the way and said, this is what I believe to know, this is what I trust, this is what I hold on to as my belief system. And we have experiences, all of which we've interpreted with using our beliefs and our knowledge and our emotions. We've interpreted every experience we've ever had personally. And so those experiences sometimes outweigh all the other things because they become, let's say, totems or some form of scar tissue in our body where we say, I've experienced heartbreak, I don't want to experience it again. Or I've experienced being lied to, I don't want to experience it again. And those experiences form the basis of human development because we have to undo them. We have to unlearn our interpretation of experiences. And this is what we call the first step in the work that I do. It's called getting back on track. Now, because we're human, we get off track. That's a fact. We cannot stay on track. That we wouldn't grow. We grow at the border of on track and off track, order and chaos. And so and everything we do while we are off track, in other words, reacting, wallowing in our beliefs, holding on to our experiences, and being adamant that what we think is what we want to do, and holding on to grim death to those things, we are off track. Because while we're doing that, one thing and one thing only reveals that we're off track, and that is we lose our smile. Now, we might be laughing, we might be crying, but we lose our smile. And that is the first signal when you look in the mirror and you go past it. What's your default face? Now, being off track, everything we do when we're off track is a problem-seeking missile. It's a trouble-seeking missile. If whatever we do productively at work is going to come unstuck. Whatever we do interactively with another human being is going to have pushback. So the question is not whether you're going to get off track. The question is going to be whether how quickly you detect it and how quickly you get back on track. And so step one is to learn the back on track process. Now, again, given that you're human, you need that. You need a back on track. Now, what most people do to get back on track is they pick the area of life that's giving them trouble, that they think has got them off track or out of balance, and they focus on it. They go, oh, I'm off track financially, I'm going to focus on that. Or I'm off track in my work life, I'm going to focus on that. Or I'm off track in my health, I'm going to focus on that. Or I'm off track in my relations and my relationships, I'm going to focus on that. And this focal concept is understandable because what it does, it distills and simplifies, which is something we all love to do. The problem with it is that if we take a financial problem or a work problem and we focus on solving it, the actual cause of the problem doesn't get fixed. We don't evolve, we don't grow. All we do is patch, and then we end up looking like one of these clowns with band-aids and patches all over their clothes, like torn patches where they patch it up and do big stitches and make it look funny. We end up with looking like a patched up person with band-aids all over us. Norman Gunston used to have all those little spots all over his face from shaving scratches as part of his acting portfolio, but when he interviewed people. But the important thing is, when we're off track, we need to holistically come back on track. Now, let's be clear. If you go off track for more than an hour or two, mentally, because something agitates you, or you get frustrated, or you're angry, or you're pissed off, or you're fearful, or you take something personally that isn't personal, that becomes, if it takes more than an hour or so, and you take it personally, it becomes physical. So your physical body reveal or stores and holds on to chemicals which were electrical impulses put across the cells of your body as a thought. And as I say, off track generates off balance thoughts, or is generated from off balance thoughts, and that results in physiological shifts. That physiological shift will make us feel uncomfortable. So what we will do is typically change position. We'll move something around, we'll adjust something, we'll maybe drink a cup of coffee, or we might go for a walk. And that environmental change will become habitual. So we might sit in a certain way, we might exercise in a certain way, we might drink a certain drink, have something at night, we might eat a certain food, and then we go, I'm going to eat that again and again. And so getting off track affects us mentally, physically, and environmentally. But next thing you know, if we focus on repairing the thing that we think is giving us trouble, we also lose our priorities. We get values diminished. In other words, we start working very hard on something that might be a low priority. Now, an example of this is somebody who wakes up and says, I really want to build a lovely business, but their relationship starts going pear-shaped, and they start focusing on the relationship. Meanwhile, the business goes down the tubes or gets worse or doesn't get built. And they say, well, I had to fix the relationship in order to keep the, to focus on the business. And that's sort of true, but not exactly true. It's not exactly true. Sometimes the cause of the sustained off-track situation is that the individual gets distracted from high priorities. Now, our highest priority is a sense of purpose. Our highest priority is our self-worth. Our highest priority is those things that will get us towards the dreams we have, not filling up and focusing on and repairing low priority things, although they need to be worked on. So the next thing is the most dangerous, is when a person starts trying to be comfortable. And that means we're off track because we've lost our vision. We start rearranging life to say, as long as I have a nice day today, everything will be okay. As long as this next interaction with someone at work is okay, I'll be okay. And that means that individual has become a narcissist, is in the worst possible language, but instantaneous gratification might be another trigger word, or self-absorbed. And that means they've lost any context of their life in the longer term, and they're focusing on the now, the now, the now. And this can create incredible emotional turmoil. And last but not least, when all this is going on, we can develop the habit of talking to ourselves in a certain way. And that becomes self-talk. And that self-talk is poisonous. So the back on track process is holistic. It says, if I'm off track, I've got to do some mental rebalancing, some physical rebalancing, some environmental checking, some values prioritization, some visionary check-in, and check myself talk. Now that takes at the most an hour a day, but you only need to do that hour a day if you're off track. If you're on track, it might be only 15 minutes a day, but every day we need to do maintenance. So the second stage of the work we do is staying on track. I mean, for goodness sake, why would we do the things that take us off track? Why would we overeat or over-exercise or overindulge or not be operating in a way that keeps us focused? And staying on track is all about manifestation. The manifestation means that we have a clear sense of vision on our vision board. We have a clear sense of what we're doing, what we want. We have a clear sense of our values, you know, gratitude, presence, certainty, and love. We know what's going to get us where we want to go. We try as much as possible to adhere to the disciplines that keep us in the zone, if you want to call it that way. So that's the whole second phase. And that's a completely different set of process to getting back on track, which is when we lose our smile. Staying on track means sustaining the smile. The third level, which is almost to a whole different plane of living, is called inspiration, being inspired. And being inspired is way above what the average punter does in the world. Being inspired is where the inner voice speaks louder than the outer. But when the inner voice is confused with the outer, it's really hard to know what to do. You don't know whether to turn left or right. You don't know whether to serve peanuts or almonds for dinner. There's the outer voices screaming really loud, and that's called mind noise. Mind noise comes when we seek other people's approval, when we want to make other people happy, when we listen to what other people think, where we get hurt by other people's words. And developing a resilience to this is just so important if your ambition is to be inspired. However, it's not about telling other people to go stick their thoughts up their bum. It's about being open. Now, open means information comes to you, goes through you, goes out of you just as quick. It comes in, goes out just as quick. It goes in as quick as it goes out. It goes out as quick as it comes in. So someone's got an opinion of what you're doing, you let it in, you let it out. It's not about rejecting anything, because that's violent. And you don't want to end up being one of these grumpy people who say, I'm not interested in what anybody thinks. But it certainly is moving in the direction of this. It says Walker's Law is you can please others and make yourself unhappy, or you can please yourself and make others unhappy, but you can't do both. Now, what it's saying is I know my inner voice. I know what my calling is, and I'm not confused about what other people think, and I'm not confused about the fact that other people are also human, and I'm not confused about the fact that other people won't necessarily like what I'm doing. What I am going to try to do is speak to other people, communicate in values language, that they can hear me. Because I don't necessarily want to end up on an island all by myself, standing on a cliff going, woohoo, look at me. I do need to learn how to communicate. And that is part of the packaging of being inspired. It's almost like being two-faced, but it's not. It's being one-faced because you know exactly what your inner voice. Now, mind noise is the enemy of inspiration. Mind noise is your emotions, other people's emotions, your opinions, other people's opinions, your feelings, other people's feelings, your beliefs, other people's beliefs, your experiences, other people's experiences. Imagine that. So that's the back on track. That's the stay on track process as a foundation for helping you stay inspired. Now, just to be clear, every morning I wake up around 5. And by about 5:30, 5:45, my aeroplane, my inspiration aeroplane, has taken off from ground level. I've done my fundamentals. I've got myself in disciplines around back on track and staying on track. And now it's time to take off. But once I take off, if I'm asked to land, if a friend rings up or a family member rings up or somebody needs to communicate with me and it's not related to what I'm inspired doing, which is coaching and being in, and helping people understand the work we're doing and helping people get back on track, I have to put it aside, or I have to land the aeroplane again in order to come back and talk to people at a family-friendly level, at a community level, at a public level, where I'm just Chris. And then once I finish that, I have to take off again. Now, this taking off and landing is really difficult. And I basically try to take off in the morning, get inspired, stay in the zone of my work, and then land the airplane at the end of the day. But we've got a new world in the last 3 years. What we've got is people working from home, and I work from home, my partner works from home, my neighbors work from home. It's so easy to walk out the back door to get a bit of fresh air while you're flying, while you're in your inspired state, and be talking to someone about, you know, what they feed their dog tomorrow, or what time the garbage gets collected this week, and land the airplane, and then go back to the computer, or go back to the desk, or go back to coaching, and actually have to take off again. I don't think that this model of being inspired works. I think for most people, they're not inspired. They're just struggling to stay on track and get back on track. And so this level of being inspired requires a whole different approach to how you live and work and breathe and where you put your petitions. I found myself having a glass of wine of an evening because I found myself flying at inspired and then having to come down and be a family member and being a loving partner and enjoying a bike ride and going for a walk on the beach and just relaxing and being out of that zone, so to speak, out of the inspired space. And a glass of wine was really helping. But of course, that's not the most efficient way to come in and out of space. What's most efficient is to declare that I'm landing the plane, I'm coming to Earth, and then just acknowledge the slowing down and not be torn between being inspired and trying to be on the ground, grounding myself. The fourth phase of all this is where it really is a whole different universe. It's like a parallel universe to the one we're in, and that is inspired leadership, where you realize that you've been gifted. You've been gifted with the art of being inspired, and you want to share that with the world, with people around you, and you realize that the preciousness of the gifts you've been born with, the life you've lived, gives you an authority, it gives you an enablement, an empowerment, an entitlement to share with others. And this last phase comes from the work of doing the first three. And at this point, we talk almost purely about personal brand, because personal brand is how we share and what we're going to have to look like, taste like, smell like, be like. So our sensory projection into the receptors of other people, because they're operating, remember, on track. You're in your senses. You're in your six senses. And they want to feel, taste, smell, see, hear. They want to hear what they want to hear. And you've got to be able to translate what you're experiencing, where you're going as a leader or where you're going as a performer, into the emotional state of the people you're sharing with. And that's all about personal brand. How do you deliver your inspiration to others through the step-down transformer into their senses? And this becomes the key to great leadership, conscious, inspired leadership. And no person on the planet who has existed in a state of influence has not gone through the turmoil of trying to understand how they take what they've got and distill it down into digestible bite-sized chunks for fans and followers and team members and listeners and readers to be able to consume. It's a really, really sort of closes the loop on the whole thing. But this inspired state and being an inspired leader, this is a whole new plane of existence. You treat yourself as an inspired person, you act like an inspired person, but you have to land the aeroplane. Otherwise, you drink the Kool-Aid. You think you are an inspired person and that you don't belong to society anymore. And that's when you get shot down. So this is the structure of the whole process. This is the structure that helps you say, where am I at in the four categories? Very few people, I think, everyone needs to spend time, at least a year or two, learning to get back on track at the flick of a finger and knowing the process and getting really good at it, so it takes minimal time. Remember, everything we do off track has a bad pushback. So everything, when we're off track, we need to recognize it, we need to do the process, we need to get back on track and stay on track as much as possible, knowing that we will get off track, but stay on track as much as possible. The third stage, again, is I want to be an inspired person. I want to live inspired. Now, that ambition is way beyond staying on track. The stay on track person has sensory awareness, is delivering what the senses wants, is enjoying their work in following their path and feels on track and has a nice goals and vision. The inspired person goes to a whole other place. And that is a really super place. And that is not for that is not an end game in itself. The purpose of that is to be able to be a performer, a leader, a person who influences others through branding, through personal branding, through delivery, and getting that skill of delivery. It's easier from a place of on track because it's a low level delivery to a low level of consumption. But when you're inspired, it's a high level of delivery to a very, very large audience at a high level of consumption. And there are skills needed for that particular role. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Looking forward to speaking with you more about this in the future. Bye for now.